So, now you're coming to the end of your run as Doctor Who. What do you say to those critics who said an Aussie bogan couldn't possibly take on the role? I say what I always say. Flux them.
I didn't like the portrayal.
But it just didn't feel right that he was only there for 1 year.
I didn't know, because I didn't watch that series. You can cut that out.
Oh, didn't you? You lucky thing.
Now we have to cut it out. It's a galley chef. Do you care?
Oh, did I say chief again?
You did.
I always do that. It's got to be some kind of mental block in my head. Hang on.
She's a chef.
I did that on the first time we talked about this years ago. I remember doing it. All right, hang on.
You know that Eccleston bloke? He said lots of planets have a north. I say lots of planets have public housing. What's the difference?
The Ravagers represent us because it's the Ravagers that need to be entertained by this this technology that that Audrey has got in place, because if they're not entertained, they'll come out and destroy the universe. It's almost like Doctor Who fans are Ravagers. What do you think of that?
It's very meta, Dwayne. I'm not sure. To be perfectly honest, Mary Smith had months to prepare and write and score. And
who's Mary Smith?
Sorry. Murray Gold. I'm just being a grumpy old man now, aren't I?
It was interesting. There you go. I've given it a crack anyway. Come on.
That's so good.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks so much for your time and congratulations on taking a 50-year icon and making it all your own no matter what. Loved it, mate.
G'day audiophiles, this is the Sirens of Audio, the show that explores the universe of Doctor Who and the audio medium. I'm Dwayne.
And I'm Philip. G'day Dwayne, g'day audiophiles.
G'day Philip, how are you?
I am excellent as always.
Good to hear.
How are you going,
I'm waiting
Dwayne?
For the day. I'm waiting for the day when you're not so good.
Well, I just won't come on air those days.
What's making us even more colourful today is that we have the lovely Sarah from the Type 40 podcast, otherwise known as the Starry-Eyed Girl, joining us for our episode. So welcome, Sarah.
Hello, guys. It's lovely to be here. And it's lovely to actually meet you in person because obviously we've seen each other on Twitter and social media and the odd interviews, but we've never actually spoken in person. So this is absolutely wonderful for me.
It's lovely to have you. I was actually looking at Twitter today and feeling really jealous as you posted a photo, and I was just feeling so envious. But don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm sorry for rubbing it in.
We've got lots to talk about. We want to hear all the goss. But before we get to that, I just want to mention, Philip, that we have our own live event coming up very soon. And in October, we are bringing Katie Manning to Sydney and Melbourne. So it's a good opportunity to talk about that.
Wow.
And what else can you tell us about that, Philip? Let's talk about it again briefly.
Well, it's going to be an amazing fan event. We booked restaurants for Melbourne last night. So I've got we've got a lovely guy, Chris Beer in Melbourne. He's helping us out doing some of the Melbourne stuff down there. And he's
thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. And he's found us a lovely bit of accommodation for Katie and I to stay at. And where we've booked the restaurant. And so it's going to be an amazing meal. The food looks fantastic. And so Melbourne is shaping up really well. Another Melbourne guy, Troy, has helped me find a photographer. So we've got the photographer lined up for Melbourne as well. And yeah, so everything's looking great. And I was actually only talking to Katie last night. And yeah, she's excited, and she's just flat chat till she leaves to come out here. She's just going from event to event and told me a few things I'm not allowed to reveal in our chat, but there's some, yeah, she's got a lot on as well.
That's going to be great. And I did spill the beans last week on the Doctor Who show, not even on our show. I spilled the beans that I wasn't going to be at the Melbourne event, so I'm very sad about that. It's the one I wanted to get to.
Well, you shouldn't be telling people because less people will come now not knowing you won't be there.
Oh, they will not. Don't be silly.
There's all these people coming only because you were there, Dwayne, and they wanted to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for that. I'll sleep better tonight. I believe now, after that.
No, that's my turn to be jealous, though. That is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to it.
So all the info for that and tickets are at katiemanning.sirensofaudio.com. There are still tickets there. You can grab those, and we look forward to seeing you all there. Well, I look forward to seeing you in Sydney anyway.
Yes, indeed. It's going to be great.
All right. I just want to start off with a couple of Apple Podcast reviews that we got since we've last spoken, Philip.
Well done, people actually reviewing this. So they should be. How exciting.
Here's one from the Apple Podcast Australia from The Unicorn and the Wasp. He gave us five stars. Five stars. For the love of Doctor Who, he says, if you love Doctor Who and Big Finish, you'll love this podcast. The two hosts are lifelong Doctor Who fans who bring their love of the show and Big Finish audio to this podcast. Week after week, they interview writers and actors from the Big Finish range, review stories, and just give a generally all-round enjoyable podcast. I stopped listening to Big Finish a few years ago as I couldn't keep up, but my interest has been renewed by these guys. I say thank you. My wallet doesn't. So thank you, the Unicorn and the Wasp. I think that's mission accomplished, Philip. That's what we
great.
Want.
Yeah, yes, more like that. Thank
just
you.
Just get on really to Jason for that commission. And here's another one. This is from Apple Podcast Great Britain. BD568 says, great. All I can do is echo the other reviews. Subscribed. So apart from the bad reviews, I hope he doesn't echo those.
There's no bad reviews, are there, Dwayne?
No, there isn't.
Exactly.
No. Only 5-star. That's the only one we're accepting. There you go. So that's that. Thank you for that. Head over to Apple Podcasts if you haven't done that. We're really hoping we can get more reviews so we can push our podcast out to more people. Now, Sarah, over to you. Can you tell us?
Okay.
Actually, do you know where we're from? Do you know I'm sitting in Tasmania? Philip is sitting in Sydney.
Yeah, I didn't know you was in Tasmania obviously I know you through Dan. I had no idea where Philip was, so that's nice to know.
Well, I'm in Sydney because I'm in short sleeves because the weather here has already turned and we're having
still got
beautiful spring weather. We've got 30 degrees coming on Thursday. So, yes, the weather difference between Sydney and Tasmania is extreme.
Wow.
Oh, I wouldn't get
well,
that.
And as you know, it's completely different here again. We've got summer back. It disappeared for a few weeks. But yeah, we've gone back to super hot. Well, for England anyway. So I'm also in, you know, shorts and short tops as well. It's absolutely boiling. And the kids have just gone back to school this week. So I'm feeling so sorry for them because they're in full blazer, shirt, tie. But yeah, I'm really enjoying the weather.
I've got to say, I love it when the kids go back to school. I love them when they're around, but it's nice when they're around.
Boy, it's nice when they go back.
I love seeing them, but it is nice to get the house back again. Be able to record in peace.
So whereabouts exactly are you?
I'm in Yorkshire. I'm in Sheffield. So if that sounds familiar, that is because obviously a lot of Chris Chibnall's Era Doctor was filmed in Sheffield. For better or worse, I didn't like the portrayal in Arachnids in the UK. We don't all collect trash like Yaz's dad. That was a bit weird, and it was a very strange story. I think there's actually still spiders and a dead body in them flats in Sheffield. it was.
There you go.
It was nice to see some landmarks. Actually, in the first episode, the woman who fell to earth, you know them, the big red cranes that she's climbing on?
Yeah.
That's literally like down the road from where I live. So that was pretty exciting, especially for my boys to see, you know, that on screen in Doctor Who.
So you didn't spot any of the filming when it was being done then?
No, I'm very much like Donna Noble in that respect. I miss everything until, you know, afterwards.
Yeah, well, you certainly didn't miss anything over the last weekend because you've been to your first Doctor Who convention, which I very jealously have to say was Whoverville 14, which was a celebration of of doctors. There were, how many doctors were there? There was one, two television doctors, and there was a few Big Finish doctors as well.
Yeah, so there was Paul McGann, Sylvester McCoy. Who else was there? Tim Chuller, who obviously is, you know, the third doctor on Big Finish. Jonathan Carley, the war doctor. Michael Chowton was there. Stephen Noonan should have been there, but sadly he had to pull out, which was a great shame. So yeah, it was.
So there was five doctors.
An abundance of doctors. Yeah.
Oh, very good. And Matthew Waterhouse was there too. I saw you.
He was
nice
there too.
Matthew.
Yeah. And Sophie Aldred was there. And Michael Jaston, the Voliard himself, that was really exciting. And he did the laugh.
I saw that. I saw Type 40 doing the live interviews there with Simon and Dan, and I saw that laugh with Michael Jaston. It was beautiful. It was just like he's come straight from 1986.
It was, and you know, and he was so delighted to do it. He did it several times because, you know, it is a crowd pleaser. But yeah, and everyone was just so lovely and welcoming because I didn't know really what to expect, not having been before. And I was there in more of a, I don't want to say professional capacity, but we were there to do filming and the podcast, not actually a fan. But well, you can't help yourself, can you, when you see these people around? Pushka. You just go back to your Doctor Who memories. And yeah, I did get a little bit excited. It was absolutely wonderful. And Steve Hatcher, you know, the guy who helps put this all together, you know, he's the big man in charge. He's asked us to come back next year, so he must have done something right.
Nice. In the podcast with Dan, he said that he was going to announce the first guest for next year. Did he do that at the end of?
He did, yeah. It's Wendy Padbury.
Nice.
How wonderful is that? So exciting.
Very, very good.
How can you live in England surrounded by Doctor Who conventions and this be the first one you've gone to?
I don't know. when the series came back, you know, I was still a student at the time, and then obviously I had my kids, and yeah, things have just got away. But now my kids are a little bit older, so I've got more of that freedom. Because I've always seen it like on social media and on YouTube, and the interviews are, oh, I'd love to go. This was just like the perfect opportunity.
I've done more conventions in the UK than you have.
Oh yeah, I know, that is really weird. I suppose I wasn't quite as obsessed as I was until I started doing the podcast with Dan and Simon, and now it's become, you know, it's not just a hobby, it is bordering on obsession.
And of course, we haven't mentioned the Type 40 podcast in great detail. Yeah. How did you end up getting into that? Because you've been in it virtually from the start, haven't you?
Yes. Purely by accident, I was looking for Doctor Who fans to talk with because none of my family or Doctor Who fans, not many of my friends are, apart from like David Tennant. So I was desperate for Doctor Who conversation, especially classic Who Doctor Who conversation. So I was looking on Facebook and Twitter and everything, and I came across Dan Hadley's group, The Space Book, and we just got chatting. So this was about 6-7 years ago. And then he came up with this project with the Fandom Podcast Network, based in America, and Kevin and Kyle, they do some fantastic shows, and I think they've got a show on every possible franchise, you know, genre franchises: Star Wars, Star Trek, The Oval, MCU, Highlander, Alfred Hitchcock, you name it, they've got it. They're just absolutely amazing people, and the whole team. And for some reason, they'd never done a Doctor Who one, and they just thought that, you know, Dan being, you know, British and being obsessed with Doctor Who from a young age, he was the perfect candidate, and he is, because you know, as you know, Dwayne, he can talk, and
I hadn't noticed.
And he is Birmingham's King of the Geeks, as he likes to call himself. So yeah, he started doing that with them, and it all just kind of evolved. Because before it was just a podcast, and now it's evolved into YouTube. Because some people seem to find it better actually, you know, seeing the visual side, seeing us talk. So I used to just start, you know, recording videos of us while we were doing the podcast. And I just know that just seems to go down better with some. Not all. Some people prefer the traditional, you know, audio route. It's just got bigger and bigger. We've got more people coming, you know, people are merchandise experts, classic Who experts, like Simon when he does his Doctor Who diary, he really digs deep and finds this wealth of information. And sometimes I forget, you know, it's that good. I forget I'm being recorded because I'm just sat listening like, yeah, yeah. Oh, this is brilliant. And I'm just absorbing it all, you know, like a sponge. And then I have to remember, oh, I am actually being filmed. I'm going to have to say something. And it's, yeah, and the show is just fantastic because we've got that many different people. We've got different ages, people who found Doctor at different points. We've got this lovely woman called Shaw that you might have seen on the YouTube. She was there on Saturday. Beautiful woman, bubbly personality. But she'd only really done the New Who stuff. And now she's delving into the classic. And that's always just a wonderful feeling, you know. Like come join us. she's just recently watched The Caves of Androzani and she's absolutely hooked. And it's just lovely to, you know, have that kind of, you know, different perspectives and, you know, see it from different angles that you might not have seen before. And they're all like ethos of Type 40 is we just wanted it to be like in the 90s when Doctor Who wasn't on. But, you know, you'd come in, you'd go to the pub or you'd go to the cafe and you just meet up and talk about Doctor Who. And that kind of like small, intimate chat about Doctor Who, and you know, and all the rubbish that goes with it about, sorry, not rubbish, but you know, that this is my favorite Doctor, and what do you think would happen if this Doctor faced that monster, and what do you think's the best episode, and all the silly competitions you have about that, you know, that kind of banter. And that's really what we wanted to do and bring that to YouTube, and I think Dan's done an amazing job of you know, bringing that to the screen and to the podcast.
He has, and when I watch live, I don't often watch live because it's very early in the morning for me. I haven't got out of bed normally yet, but I look at the chat, and often the chat goes off on different tangents as well, unrelated tangents. So
it does.
It's like a little community in there that has their own little thing going too.
Yeah, and we, you know, we have our regulars, and it becomes almost like a family. But when we're not on, we do get missed. I mean, we had a break over the summer because obviously people were going on holiday and they'd got family and work commitments. And it's always, when is Type 40 coming back? And I need Type 40 on a Thursday. And it's just really nice that we've connected with so many people. And it adds that kind of value to it, because Dan always says, if we weren't recording, we'd be having these conversations anyway, as fans. It'd still all be going off, but, you know, we might as well record it. You know, people can enjoy it and maybe people agree with us. Or even better, when they don't disagree, because that's where the real fun lies. So I'm just glad it does resonate. The community is the best. It really is.
Excellent. Very good. So that's Type 40. So check that out if you haven't already. There is a Type 40 podcast. Oh, you've even got Stephen Noonan as a regular now on Type 40.
Yes, we have, and he's
he likes a fan natter as well.
Yeah. Say that again, sorry.
I said he likes to have a fan chat as well.
Yes, he does. I've always been fantastic at engaging with the fans. Because was he such a massive fan himself, and yeah, any excuse to come and talk. And but blimey, you think Dan can talk? I mean, Stephen, he'd go for hours if you just let him. Yeah, which is so yeah.
He does. He does. All right. Well, I guess back to Hooverville. I suppose with our live events too, one of the highlights for me was being able to get back together physically. Like, it's great doing podcasts like this and doing things remotely, but that actual being in someone's presence, that was a highlight for me. And I think that might have been for you too, was it, Sarah?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because we're all based, across the country. We don't get a chance to meet up in person that often. So this was the perfect opportunity, to do that. Yeah, and just hang out. I mean, it did. Obviously, we didn't get as much time as we liked because we were filming and running around and carrying laptops and various things. But at the end of the day, we did get this breather where we were sat in the cafe, and it was just, oh, relax. And it was just wonderful to all be together. And then again, we all go our separate ways, but hopefully we are going to have a meet up before the end of the year. So that'd be absolutely lovely. But that was the main thing, and it wasn't just us. Everywhere you went, there were little pockets of people. Just again. Or that they might not have seen these friends, or they go to these events with all year, or for several years, if it was before COVID, and everybody was, meeting up, and that was just as wonderful to see. I mean, never mind the celebrities, that was kind of like the heart of Hooverville, and I liked how intimate that was. I think I preferred that as a first convention anyway, because the big ones like they have in London, it does just feel like you're just kind of queuing all the time and you're being pushed through and you just don't get that kind of time just to hang out. Whereas this seemed a bit more relaxed, I think, and you could just take your time. And again, everyone was so lovely. The cosplayers, and there's this lovely boy. I think you might have seen him on Twitter, Cooper, who dresses up as Sylvester McCoy and John Pertwee. And again, seeing the kids and just going, with the families, it's just lovely. And it just makes you remember, oh, God, Doctor Who is just the best show and the best fandom. It really is.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with that said, that's leading us towards our topic for the podcast, which is the Ninth Doctor Adventures Ravages, the first box set that Christopher Eccleston did for Big Finish. And you chose that one for us, Sarah. But before
I
we get
did.
right into that, do you know what we've got to do, Philip? Do you?
What we're going to do now is well into the podcast.
Well, we're going to do it now as well because it's sort of, it, well, you'll see. You'll see. But let's
Okay, I'm
go
scared.
down the rabbit hole. Here we go. Okay, so we're in the rabbit hole, and I want to ask you both, where were you both at in terms of your Doctor Who fandom? In 2005, when it came back, were you still as invested in Doctor Who as you always were? Was this the first time you saw Doctor Who, Sarah? I think it might have been. But what about you, Philip? Where were you at in terms of Doctor Who? How were you feeling about it coming back?
Yeah, I was actually very into the Doctor Who scene at 2005. So I did have a wane during the 90s, and I did look forward to the Paul McGann movie, loved the Paul McGann movie. And then, actually, yeah, so probably up a couple of years before that, a couple of years after that, it got a bit quiet. And it would have been about two, I don't think what it was, 1999. I was so this is bizarre. So Broadway shops opened up in the city, and I went to a news agency that was brand new, I'd never seen before. And in the news agency was a Doctor Who magazine, and I hadn't bought a Doctor Who magazine. I'd bought all of them from number one until about 19, whenever the show ended, about 1990, 91, and I stopped buying them. So I hadn't bought a Doctor Who magazine for 10 years, and it was Louise Jameson on the cover as Leela. And I went, oh, and I sort of looked, picked it up and had a bit of a flick through and went, oh, this looks good. And I bought it. And that re-sparked for me my obsession with Doctor Who. So Doctor Who magazine redid it at that time. So, and in that Doctor Who, actually it would have been a couple of episodes afterwards, it talked about Big Finish starting up. And so I bought the first CDs. And then I discovered the Doctor Who Club of Australia again, which I used to be involved with in my high school days, but I hadn't been involved with it at all. And rang up, asked some questions about the club, and they said, oh, we're actually having a folding this weekend of Doctor Who Extract. Do you want to come along for the folding? And went to Todd's house and met people there.
I've hosted some of those foldings.
You hosted some of those folding, and I did a folding, and there was a Doctor Who convention coming at that time, and I was back in. So I went from nothing much at all. In fact, my poor wife, I had kept hidden from my wife my obsession with Doctor Who before we got married. All my videotapes had been put away. She didn't know any of these things existed. And then after we got married, I unpacked them all. And she went,
now look behind you, Philip. You just don't care.
I don't care anymore. I think at that stage she thought it was a bit weird. But for the first few years of marriage, there wasn't much. And then suddenly I'm back in with a huge passion and going for it. So by the time it was announced that Doctor was coming back, I was so excited. I must confess, I downloaded the early release of Rose, the pirated episode, which came out about a month
before. Naughty, naughty.
I know, but anyhow, I couldn't wait. It was on the web, and it was fantastic, and I was so excited by what was coming. To the extent of, I rang up the ABC one afternoon, the afternoon program, because they were saying Doctor Who's coming back. I've seen the episode and it's brilliant. And then once it started, I mean, the whole first series, the first few series were just spectacular. And back then, because, it took weeks before they come to the ABC, there was a group of us that we'd all meet at someone's house on a Sunday and someone would download the episode and it would take 6, 7, 8, 9 hours to download. So they'd started off, at 2 a.m. in the morning. And by the time we by the time we arrived at about 10, 11 o'clock, it was downloaded, usually. Sometimes we had to wait another hour. And then there'd be a group of us all sitting in different people's lounge rooms watching each episode as it came out. And we were just all blown away by how good it was. So, yes, it's a very exciting time in fandom for me. And it was a long time ago now. It's coming up to 20 years.
Mm. I can't believe we hadn't crossed paths during that time, Philip. You must have. I don't know why we didn't cross paths, but anyway.
No.
I was gone because it was around 2000, 2001 that I was there. When did I leave Sydney? 2002. So I was pretty heavily involved with the club up to that point and still a little bit after as well when I moved down here.
Well, as I said, the Doctor Who magazine would have been 99, and there was probably another year or two before I connected in with the club.
Gotcha.
So I must have, I'm surprised we missed, but we...
And did you say the Broadway shops had just opened? Because that's where we met for Tavern.
The big shopping centre? That only opened, I think that opened in 96 or 97.
Oh, okay.
So I was living in Newtown at the time, because we moved to Newtown in... we got married in 95, we moved to Newtown in 96, and it opened a year or two after we were living in Newtown.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so I was very similar. I didn't have much to do with Doctor Who throughout the 90s. I started on the books. I didn't really get into the books. And I didn't even start on Big Finish, although when I was involved with the club, we were, sort of selling Big Finish CDs. So it was only after listening to a few of those that I really got into it. So I wasn't in it right from the very beginning, but I was hooked very quickly once I started. I didn't know anything about Christopher Eccleston at the time. So there was one movie that I found that I got on DVD with him in it called Heart. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's about this guy played by Christopher who gets a heart transplant and he starts to take on the personality traits of the donor.
Yes, I do. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Yes. I thought, oh, wow, this is it. This is very interesting. So I was still, even after that movie, I was a little bit unsure.
The donor was a murderer, wasn't he? Or something like that?
I think it might have been something like that. I've got the DVD somewhere. I might have to dig it out and have a look at it again. But, yeah, that's all I saw of Chris Eccleston. I never saw anything else. And that first episode absolutely blew me away. It was very different to what we'd had in the past, but it felt familiar. So I really enjoyed all the way through that series how Russell T. Davies had connected to the general audience, and he turned it into a huge phenomenon, almost to the point where, you know, a couple of years earlier I was struggling to get, 40 people to club events and things like that. And here it was again, this huge international sensation. So, the one thing Big Finish was, I was such a Big Finish fan by this stage that I was worried that Big Finish would fold because of this, but thankfully it never did. So that was a bit of my story. But what about you, Sarah? Where were you at in your Doctor Who journey when Christopher Eccleston started?
Doctor Who was just something that I knew that was on a long time ago. Wasn't on my radar. I do vaguely remember. I remember watching the TV movie, and enjoying it, but not enough. I would have been about 11, 12. Obviously, I knew this thing. Obviously, growing up in England, there's things you know what a police box is, you know what a Dalek is, you know Tom Baker, and it was just this show that was on, and then suddenly it was everywhere, and it was advertised on big billboards. It was all over the TV, chat shows, news, general things like that. But what got me was Billy Piper being in it, because she was a pop star when she was a teenager. And we're at a similar age, so I was following her. So I'd got all the CDs, I knew all the dance moves. It's really sad. I don't care.
You did it because you want to.
And we had no idea. Because in Australia, we had no idea who Billy Piper was. So
exactly.
That sort of music had never affected us all. So people going about Billy Piper, we'd never heard of her.
Yeah. And it was a bit, guys. She'd done a few bits of acting, but this was her big break as well. So that was interesting. And Christopher Eccleston, he was a name. He was not, he was the serious thespian. And I'd seen him in, he did a film called Jude, the Tom Hardy book, Jude the Obscure, and it's a very grim, very bleak, fantastically acted, but I had to watch it at school, and it was very hard going, but again he was a name. I'd seen him on TV, but then I saw the trailer that they did, the Trip of a Lifetime trailer. And it just blew me away. It was really exciting. And, you got that TARDIS interior in the background. And I think for a few weeks leading up to transmission, you'd be watching the TV and it had come on and it would be his side. And then it would be Billy's side. And both really excited me. But I think it was more Billy's when she said, I've got a choice. I can stay at home at work with my mum, or I can go on these adventures. That just really kind of like seduced me and pulled me in. So I thought, I'm going to watch this. And it was a big thing because it was on prime time. It's on at 7 o'clock. But at this time, I'm at university, and at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, I'd be getting ready to go out. And I didn't. I was sat and watched this show, and I just thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. It was fast paced, it was funny. I mean, it weren't particularly scary, but it was for the kids. But I found it really interesting, the mystery of who is this man, what's he doing. So I was with Rose's character all the way, when she's doing her detective work. And then, at the end, when he asks her to go with him and she says no, and I'm like, what are you doing, Rose? And I was so happy, when she finally says yes and she goes running in to that TARDIS. And then, you get that next time trailer. And I was just hooked. I was like, well, I'm going to have to watch this for the next 13 weeks. And it was really, my friends were so annoyed with me because I was delayed because obviously I wouldn't get ready until after I'd watched it. So they was like, oh, we're gonna have to wait for Sarah till Doctor Who's come on. And then obviously after that was Doctor Who Confidential. And of course I had to watch that. So then I was even later. And so I did get a bit of a reputation in those early years. So did you get the Doctor Who Confidential as well afterwards?
So we didn't actually get them in Australia, but you could download them again. So we
Yeah.
used to download the Confidentials. Because there's the Confidential cutdowns on the DVDs, but they're really disappointing when you compare to the whole program, because that whole
Yeah, they
45-minute
are.
program was astounding, and then they cut it down to 15 minutes. So I still have all the Confidentials downloaded and on hard drive for the full length ones. But yeah,
The Confessions of Philip.
they were
I mean,
spectacular.
they were amazing, and I don't think I'd realised what a big deal it was it coming back until I'd watched, because like you know that first Doctor Who Confidential was all about how they brought it back, and I thought, oh, this was really important. You know, this is how many people loved it back in the day, and it was just this tiny thing that I didn't really think about.
Wasn't there actually
And
a
so you just
documentary before the Confidentials? It was called a new Dimension, is it? Wasn't it narrated by David Tennant, that first
yes, it
documentary,
was. Yeah, and
which was very
I
interesting?
remember watching that. And again, just it really came to the fore that this was a massive thing that people really cared about, and you know, the love and commitment to, you know, bring it back.
There was a kids program there for a while too, for one season, 2 seasons, but was that later? Do you remember the kids
I think
program?
it was a little bit later.
Oh, I think Elizabeth Slater was on it. So it must have been the second season.
Yeah.
I think it only ran for 1 or 2 seasons, but even that was a bit of fun. I mean, there was
Was
a lot
that
more.
totally Doctor Who?
Yes, well
Yes,
done.
I remember that. Yeah, that was a couple of years later. Yeah. Oh yeah, I watched that. I watched everything. But I remember going when the series had finished. They brought out Doctor Who magazine brought out that special of series one, and it had got Russell's like first kind of treatment of what he was going to do. And at that point, I was already well hooked, and I remember queuing up in WH Smith's to get and getting a really funny look, picking up this Doctor Who magazine. And I can, of course, it wouldn't matter, but back then it was still kind of, I suppose, a male dominated fandom. And there was a exhibition in Brighton of the props. And I went and I took my nephew, and again it did seem to be more male dominated, although there was quite a few families. And I love seeing the current series stuff. They also had some costumes and props on loan from the Blackpool Museum. And I'd been to Blackpool loads and never clocked that this massive Doctor Who building. It really just wasn't on my radar at all. But I think it had been closed quite a bit by then. This exhibition, they were all this Doctor Who merchandise. They've got all the classic DVDs and all the books. And I just didn't know, what to choose. There was that many. I just felt a bit lost. And this lovely guy came over and explained everything. And he said, well, what did you like about the new series? Was there any particular monsters? So I said, oh, yeah, I really like the Daleks. I loved that Dalek episode and Parting of the Ways. So he found me Remembrance of the Daleks. He said, check that out, because if you like Rose, you'll like Ace. So I picked that one up. And I also, he recommended Spearhead from Space and Terror of the Otons, because obviously I'd seen the Otons in Rose. And that's what I did for several years. So whatever I saw in the new series, so series two, at Sarah Jane K9, Gabriel Wolf when he, did the voice of the beast in the Satan pit. Then I, somebody recommended Pyramids of Mars, and that was, so I picked and chose what I did, and it just, I was so greedy for everything, and I forget how lucky I was to be able to do that, because Doctor Who wasn't always that accessible. Whereas obviously by the time the new show had come along, we'd already had the DVD releases and all the book, and obviously Big Finish as well. So I just felt like, I really was going down this rabbit hole of Doctor Who. I just couldn't believe that, it'd been around all this time and I'd just failed to spot it. Feel a bit of a traitor to my country.
So it wasn't too, sorry, you go, Philip.
I said, what was your reaction when, because I think it was the end of the first episode we found out that Christopher Eccleston had actually
That
left.
Was my exact question.
Was
there
it?
you go. What was your reaction when you heard that he was, after one episode, which was spectacular, suddenly we knew he wasn't going on?
I was absolutely appalled. Like, you can't do this, Chris. And especially the UK media, that they would not let it drop. It was all the time in the papers, and it was a really risky thing, because that could have put a lot of viewers off. Why would you invest in another 12 weeks of your time if he's going to go? But so I think it can't praise Chris enough that his performance was that good that he still wanted to tune in and see what happened week after week after week. But it was disappointing.
Do you think that
And
it was
when we
actually more
when we
disappointing? Was it more disappointing by the fact it was leaked? Because I do wonder what would it have been like to have actually have got to the end of the season and had the regeneration and not known it was coming. Because that wouldn't that have been amazing?
that would have been amazing. And I mean, I wouldn't have known what the hell was going on. But yeah, it would have been because we've never had a surprise regeneration. The closest I think we ever got was the end of Stolen Earth. So it was a shame that it was leaked. I think that could have been disastrous for them. And then I remember seeing it being David Tennant. And I was like, oh no. He doesn't look anything like the doctor. And I did. It's amazing how attached people got, over them 13 weeks. I got really attached. And I didn't like, because there was that little mini-sode that they did for Children in Need, Born Again. And I was feeling the same as Rose. I'm like, can you change back? I don't like you. I don't want like, and even in the Christmas Invasion, when he's got the leather jacket on, because he, it absolutely buries him. Like, this doesn't look right. I don't like it, and it actually took quite a while. I think it was, as much as I liked him at the end of Christmas Invasion, I think it took till about school reunion for me to fully accept him. And it was I'll tell you what scene it was when he's facing off Anthony Head in the swimming pool, and I thought, yeah, okay, yeah, that is the doctor. But it did it was such a gear change. Of course, I love David Tennant now. David, if you're watching, I do love you, but at the time it was very traumatic for a first fan to go through that regeneration.
Just wanted to range because I think I accepted David Tennant straight away without a problem. I mean, I loved Chris Eccleston. I still think his performance was magnificent, and would have loved to have seen more seasons. But when he walked out of the TARDIS at the Christmas Invasion at the end in his pajamas and just took over, I thought, yes, we've got the Doctor, and I never looked back again. But I've been through a lot of regenerations. What did you think, Dwayne?
Well, I think and I've been thinking as Sarah's been talking too, because you know my feelings on the 10th Doctor. He's never been my favourite of the new series Doctors. And perhaps because I loved Eccleston so much, I felt a bit of resentment, and that's always carried on all this time. I've resented David Tennant for taking over so soon. So it's made me It's discoloured my view of the 10th Doctor, perhaps, which is not fair on the character of the 10th Doctor.
That's interesting.
I can understand.
I think often with the first regeneration, that's often the way, but I'm surprised that having seen so many regenerations, you'd still feel that way.
I know. It just didn't feel right that he was only there for 1 year. Like, it, at least two, like Colin Baker, come on. It just seemed too short.
Well, it's a good thing we've got him back now, isn't it?
Well, it took a long time for him to come back, but he did eventually come back. And that's probably a good point to jump out of the rabbit hole. What do you reckon?
I think so. That'd be great. Let's go.
Okay, so before we get into the story, and I'll do a trailer in a second, I will read the blurbs. I'll read all of them because this is a single story broken into three separate episodes with individual story titles. So the first one is Sphere of Freedom. On the Sphere of Freedom, the Doctor is about to shut down an evil immersive games business empire. He's assisted by a valiant galley chief called Nova. But his plan spectacularly fails. And who exactly is Audrey? He's assisted by a valiant galley chef called Nova. But his plan spectacularly fails. And who exactly is Audrey? Episode 2, Cataclysm. Nova is dislocated in time while the time eddies are out of control. Meanwhile, the Doctor is about to face the end of the universe. Or is that just the Battle of Waterloo? Episode 3, Food Fight. The TARDIS is starting to get a little crowded. Audrey finds herself haunted by a ghostly Doctor. Here's a trailer.
From Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, The Ninth Doctor Adventures, Volume 1. Ravagers.
I'm back! I'm really back in the TARDIS! You did it, old girl!
Endless possibilities and events. Future, past, and everything in between.
I have done the thing! Temporal thing, radiating from the TARDIS like nobody's business.
Doctor, I honestly don't know how this could have happened.
Come on, get in!
Oh my God!
It's all right! It's all right! Don't panic!
I'm not panicking.
I wasn't talking to you. Centurion!
Did you just fall out of the sky or something?
Sort of.
Yeah.
So you lied to her.
I meant what I said.
Doctor! If you can hear me, you better get here soon!
Run for it, lads! Run!
But if you stay here, waving your swords and spears around, you'll be blown off the face of the earth! That macho enough for you?
He's really done it now.
Nova! Yeah? Hang on to something! Sir! Stop this!
I couldn't agree more, Doctor.
Audrey, no! Put that gun!
How can this be inside your police box?
Perfectly reasonable question.
Target! We're being overrun! We've got to withdraw!
That sounded a bit polite for a giant mechanical monster.
Haven't got no idea, sir.
Who
just
the hell are these people?
Just quiet, please, all of you!
Sort of terrifying.
Pretty much sums it up.
What if they grab you and try to wipe your brain?
They can try!
Whoa.
Right. Shall we get on with this?
That's not just amazing, it's fantastic!
Big Finish. We love stories.
Okay, so this was the triumphant return to the role of Christopher Eccleston as the Ninth Doctor. Philip, I'll start with you. Did you ever think this would happen?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
You're confident?
I was confident. Big Finish gets them all in the end. I was confident it would happen. I did think Christopher needed time to recover. He, from what I can gather, it wasn't a happy experience for him on Doctor Who, which is sad because his performance is amazing. The stories are amazing. But because of how production happened, because in that first year they had no idea what they were doing. I think by day three they were 3 weeks behind. The entire production was a disaster. They thought they could actually film in three locations in one day. And they were just trying to film the show like a typical BBC show. And they just hadn't got the idea of how Doctor Who worked. And Christopher Eccleston, who is a man of the people and for the workers, wasn't happy with the hours that people were being forced, not just for him, wasn't happy with the hours people were keeping. He wasn't happy with how the disorganization was. There was a couple of directors in particular he could not get on with at all. And he's a strong-willed man who says his mind, and it just got ugly. And so, tragically, he just, after a couple of months went, I don't want to continue. And unfortunately, rather than just admit the fact that they'd made lots of mistakes and apologise and move on, the BBC decided to blame Christopher Eccleston for what went on and really damaged his career. And, you know, for years, he couldn't even... I'm not sure he's ever gone back to work at the BBC, because they just...
I don't think he has.
Because they blamed him unfairly, I believe, in terms of everything that I read. And the BBC slammed him and stopped him ever working again.
It was blacklisted.
Yeah.
And it was common knowledge. And that's how come he ended up going to America and doing Thor the Dark World and... You know, all of them things, because that was the only thing he could do.
Yeah. So I fully understand why he was unbelievably angry with how he was treated. And it took him a while to work out that Big Finish wasn't the BBC. And although Big Finish is, you know, it relies on the BBC to approve all their storylines, the BBC, do have control. And, you know, and they have stepped in and stopped certain productions and things happening in the past. Generally speaking, though, the Big Finish is totally separate.
They're good at knowing what the BBC is going to veto as well, so they do what they can to avoid it.
That's right. And Christopher Eccleston just assumed that all fans hated him because he'd left the show. And so it took 10 years. This is 2021. So this is, 16 years after. So it took about 14, 15 years. And he actually started attending a couple of fan events and realizing actually he was loved. And as that started to happen, he started to realize, well, actually, maybe I should think about going back. And so those sort of things.
Well, it was Gallifrey, wasn't it, that Jason bailed him up there?
Yeah, it was. And he's been perfectly honest too. It was also he needed the money. That COVID hit, there was no work, there's nothing on, he needed the money. And yeah, and he's a working actor, he's a jobbing actor. And the good thing is that since he went, you know, it was money that drove him there, and also the fact that he wanted to please some of the fans. But you know, he's a working actor. But once he got there and saw the atmosphere and just saw how good it was, he has loved being there. And, you know, I thought he may have only done one box set, maybe two. The fact he's still coming back and he doesn't need to come back now. He's got other work, he's making other money, but he's choosing to come back because he knows the content of the story are great. He's hearing amazing reviews from the fans. He's loving what he's doing. They're writing for his doctor, his working class sensibilities and a lot of his views. And yeah, it's been marvelous, a marvelous change.
Sarah, how did you feel about this coming back? And would I be right in assuming that you're probably not the biggest Big Finish collector, but this was probably a must-have for you?
Yeah, not a big massive, but not because I don't like Big Finish. Just there's that much of it. Again, that's another rabbit hole. Then I was quite daunted by where I should have started. I had little bits, like I listened to Jubilee, because obviously that was reworked into Dalek. Listened to Spare Parts, because obviously that was Rise of the Cybermen, Age of Steel, that was the And when I came to accessing the Classic Who, I really struggled, which probably won't be a surprise to you, with Colin Baker's portrayal. Because, you know, it was so alien and so out there. And I almost gave up. And one of my Doctor Who friends, no, you need to listen to The Lost Stories, because, you know, it really develops his relationship with Perry. You know, it softens them and you get a sense of, you know, where they were going to take it, you know, before, you know, they got rid of him, before it all stopped. So I started listening to them. And actually, I want to listen to it again, because obviously the first story is The Nightmare Fair, which is the Celestial Toymaker, and he's coming back. So, you know, He might be coming back. I think it's... 99% sure that it is him.
Okay, I don't trust anything he does.
we'll have to come back on and see if I was right. So I listened to that. Yeah, that gave me like the taste of what Big Finish can do, because I have heard it called fan fiction, I don't, professionally made fan fiction, maybe. I prefer to see it as kind of a optional extras. So if you like a doctor or particular character, you know, you've got that, you know, all that to play with. But obviously it just wasn't particularly a necessity for me because Doctor Who was on. I mean, I can understand it, you know, when Doctor Who was off, you know, Big Finish was keeping, you know, Doctor Who alive, keeping it going. So I kind of, I would hear things, you know, a particular character would come back, there'd be like River Song or Osgood or, you know, somebody, and I'd be like, oh, I must get round to that. I'll get round to that eventually. Never did. And there's 50 million box sets now. I will get round to it eventually.
They've just released the series 12 of River Song, and that's the last 12, one. So you can catch up now.
They can. and then suddenly this announcement comes that they've got him. They've got Christopher Eccleston. And I was so happy. I, like Philip, I wasn't particularly surprised because I'd heard about how they'd been trying to get Tom for years and, you know, years and years. Tom weren't going to come back. He weren't going to do this. And then he had his change of heart. And I thought, well, surely Chris Eccleston couldn't be as stubborn as Tom. So he's got a comeback. And then when I'd seen the footage of him at these conventions where he'd realised, like you were saying, he was loved and, you know, he realised he wasn't hated. And I think just because obviously he grabbed a lot of young fans as well, and now they're all growing up and, you know, they're having their kids and they're showing, you know, his stuff to their kids. And obviously Chris has got kids as well. And I think that kind of thawed him a bit too. So I just thought, you know, it was inevitable that it was going to happen. But I was so excited because I've been longing for, you know, what would this second series with Chris Eccleston look like. A little bit miffed that, you know, there's no Rose. I'm still hoping that has got to happen. You know, Billy already does recordings for Big Finish. Nick, you've got to make that happen. but as I understand it, these, you know, got that lovely time before he meets Rose. Because I think in Rose, it is intimated that he has newly regenerated, because there's that scene, isn't there, in the Tyler's flat when he's looking at himself and he sees his ears. So the fact that, you know, they've got all that kind of time to, you know, play with.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, yes. I mean, that was because most people say, oh, he's just regenerated. But there's no reason to assume he had just regenerated then. And it could be the fact that, you know, he'd been like that for 10, 15 years and still finds his ears odd.
Yeah, he's just, yeah.
One line, and you've done away with the fact that it's the first time. That was just, you know, new regenerated was just for the fans. Not important. And he could have been, you know, hanging around for a while. But it took Rose to heal him because, you know, he still needs healing. And certainly with all these box sets that he's done so far, you can still that he's still a doctor in need of healing from whatever's happened in the Time War.
Yep, absolutely. I was thrilled that he was coming back as well. Very interesting that when was this? It was released in May 21. So we got the name Ravages, and I don't know if you recall. But at the same time, publicity was happening for Flux, the television serials, and they were promoting characters called Ravagers in that as well. So my immediate thought was, oh, is there some kind of connection between those Ravagers and these Ravagers? But of course, there is no connection. So it's interesting then the extras at the end, Nick is talking about chatting with Chris Chibnall about some of these ideas, and it made me think, oh, I wonder if one of them has pinched the idea of the Ravagers from the other. But I don't know.
So why we're on the name, because I've never liked the name for this box set, but that's because I think it's too similar to the Ravenous. In fact, when you said we were discussing Ravagers, in my head we were doing four boxes of the Ravenous, And I was thinking,
you asked me three times, are we doing all four box sets? And I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
Yes, so because Ravenous and Ravagers is just too similar, and so and because
you're very close, yeah.
And yeah, and I love the Ravenous box set series, but I was just thinking, I haven't got time to get through four box sets before we do this interview. I kept saying to you, like, you know, and then you finally said Christopher Eccleston. I went, oh, hang on a second. Chris Eccleston. And they went, oh, that's right. Because so this the name of this box has never stuck with me. And I think it's partly because of the Ravenous. I must have been, I'd totally forgotten that in the Flux there were Ravagers, but there you go. You've reminded me.
All right, Philip, as far as the story Ravagers goes, have you only heard that? I've listened again to this in the last few days. What about yourself?
Yeah, I've listened to it again in the last couple of days.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the story itself?
Okay, so it was interesting when they announced that Chris was going to come back. My assumption would be they were going to do three episodes. I assume they'd do the typical Russell T. Davis thing of one in the present, one in the future, one in the past. So that's just what I expected. I thought that's been the model for all of Russell's seasons in terms of how he introduced it, the first one being a bit of fun and lighthearted and then build it up. So I was kind of expecting that. I'm actually glad that we didn't get that because we got nothing like it. So when Nick Briggs wrote this story, he did his... Nick doesn't think he writes like this, but he does. He loves his messing up with time. He loves stories being told in many different backwards and forwards and all over the place. He does it quite regularly, even though we pointed it out to him and he was a bit surprised, saying, I don't write like that. And we started naming all the stories like that.
Actually, did you listen to the extras?
I did.
Did you know that he said, I was talking to a podcaster and he said, how do you write? He asked me, it was actually me he was talking about.
Yeah, that was my, us. Was it you and us?
No, it was me. It was my interview with the human frontier. That was just before you came on.
Okay.
So, but we'll call it us. It was the Sirens of Audio. It's us.
Okay. Yes,
exactly. So I'm very pleased that I got onto a Big Finish CD, wow, even though I'm not named. Go, Philip.
I'm just turning my dog off at the moment. Sorry. I don't know
what's... Oh, okay. Good on you, Bingo.
Brilliant. So, yeah, so even though I know Nick doesn't admit to it, Sirens of Audio's brought it out of him, that he often writes this way. And so it was lovely in terms of, it was not what you'd expect in terms of bringing Christopher Eccleston back, but I think it was a clever way of reintroducing him and doing it in a way that wasn't just copying the show. It could have been very easy just to do a let's copy the show format. But because it is timey-wimey, it's all over the place, it actually is much more intriguing in terms of what's going on. I think also if you were introducing, because they've deliberately not given him a companion at all in all the box sets, and I think he's now done more stories for Big Finish than he did on TV too. He's because they've never given him a companion and they don't intend to, because I think it's important Rose is his first companion. So because they've never given him a companion, you don't want to set up a person to be a companion. So Nova has a special role in this place, and she's bright, she's intelligent, she's the companion substitute, but she isn't built like a companion would normally be built. And so once again, the fact it's all timey-wimey means she doesn't have to be built like a normal companion. And so you can actually dip in and out of who she is, where she is, how they meet more than once. And I think that keeps it, keeps the engagement going. So it's a very creative way. I know lots of people complained about this when it came out because they really just wanted traditional Christopher Eccleston stories. But I actually think as a first box set, this was a very creative way of doing it. And they would get to the typical Christopher Eccleston stories later on, but you had to hang on for them. That was my take of it. What did you think?
Well, listening to it again, I can understand the criticisms to a degree. It's not the easiest listen in the world. You've got to really, really concentrate on it to be able to get what's going on. And I found interesting that you say that Nova is not a typical companion, because at the end, I really was hoping Nova would join the Doctor as a companion. I really liked it by the end of it. And there's a few reasons for that. How spoilery are we going to get with this? Can we get spoilery?
Yeah, I think it can be fairly spoilery.
Well, it turns out that she's a sci-fi fan, so that's how she knows a lot of stuff. Because you know, with her, she watched a lot of sci-fi stuff, old classic stuff, with her dad. So she's in a way representing us, the fans. However, in a sort of meta level within the story itself, the Ravagers represent us because it's the Ravagers that need to be entertained by this technology that that Audrey has got in place. Because if they're not entertained, they'll come out and destroy the universe. It's almost like Doctor Who fans are Ravagers. What do you think of that?
It's going very deep with that.
It's very meta, Dwayne. I'm not sure.
I think that's what Nick was trying to get at.
Yeah.
He was having a go at fans, you think?
I reckon he was.
No, he wasn't. I don't think he wasn't having a go, but I think it was a tongue-in-cheek dig, maybe, because he knows
have a go. It's all right. Yeah. We're big and bad enough to be able to take it. Some of us are anyway.
It is fun. And I think you are right. I think it is a convoluted story, but I also think if you're paying £30 or $70 for a story, you actually want something that you have to work for and can listen to several times and get something out of it every time. This is the third time I've listened to this now, and every time I listen to it again, I get more out of it. And as I said, when I'm investing a large amount of money, I want to get stuff out of it each time I listen. I don't want it just to be a consume once and throw away thing.
But more than the story, what we've got is we've got the Ninth Doctor back. If you wanted, the character of the Ninth Doctor has not changed. Christopher Eccleston has just absolutely nailed it. It's like he's not been away for 16 years. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Sarah? Did you get a sense of that when you listened to that?
Yes. And I'd watched all the interviews that he did leading up to this, and it was lovely that it didn't, you know, he just kind of flicked a switch in his head, and it, you know, he's back there to 2005. I mean, when you first put it on and you just hear that 2005 theme tune, I had the biggest smile on my face, and I see what Philip means. I mean, at first, I think that is what I was expecting. I just thought, safe territory, we're going to get more of the same. But like you say, you know these box sets, you know, you're paying this money, you don't want more of the same. I think that would have been a cheat for fans and the lazy route to go for. So I am glad Nick didn't go that way. It is very convoluted. And you do have to pay attention. It did put me off a little bit. You know, I'd have to stop it. And, you know, you really do have to pay attention. But I like that. But I always preferred, you know, the Stephen Moffat timey-wimey stuff anyway. So, you know, that the way that Nick would do that, that did really appeal to me. But, yeah, it isn't just a story that you can just put on and potter about doing something else. You have to be full in the zone with it. I did like Nova, but again, like you were saying, Dwayne, she's us. And I got actually got a bit of a Bill Potts kind of vibe from her, because she's very much like, when she's saying, you know, I can't remember what episode it is, when she keeps coming out with these references like, oh, is it like The Thing? And she's, you know, she's got them sci-fi references. So I really like that about her. She's really accessible. And more importantly, she's not replacing my Rose, because, you know, Rose is up there. She's my first companion. And that relationship with Nine and Rose is sacred. It's like, you know, Tom and Liz, there's just something really, you know, epic about that. So I'm glad, you know, Nova's not stepping on anybody's toes, because, you know, that would have been wrong. But yeah, I love the. I really like the one in the middle, the second story, when it goes back to the past and there's the big battle. Because I really loved the more historical episodes. I've always been a sucker for the historicals, anyway, in Doctor Who, but especially in Eccleston's run. You know, the Unquiet Dead and the Empty Child and the Doctor Dancers. You know, they're some of the strongest stories in, you know, a really good first season anyway. So I like that, you know, that they were playing with the time travel. Yeah, like you said, the Ravagers, they're quite amusing villains, you know, that they do need to be entertained. Like, they're kind of like these terrible giant space toddlers, you know, and if they don't get the way, you know, they're gonna
they're Doctor Who fans.
Yeah, they don't even look and have this tantrum.
Doctor Who fans. That's exactly what they are.
So yeah, I was very, very pleasantly surprised. And I liked it enough that I did purchase the second box set. I haven't listened to it yet because there's just not enough time. But I do know, is it in the second one where he meets the Cybermen?
Is that no, the second that's the one, third one.
That's the third one, right? So this is how far behind. But I have been told the Cybermen one is particularly good. And because you didn't see him, you didn't face off with them on TV, I'm really excited. So yes, I'm going to have to part with more money now.
Yeah, that one is spectacular.
Yeah, Monsters in Metropolis by John Dorney. Mm-hmm. That's
starring Helen Godwin. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's one of Helen Godwin's best performances ever, I think. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant story. If you can get to that, you're in for a big treat. Yep. But Ravagers is still a good start, I think, and I think it.
It's interesting, three of the main cast have never appeared in anything else on Big Finish, so which is unusual for Nick, because Nick loves his, and some of these trippers here, he's got Dan Starkey and Jamie Parker, who've both done heaps of stuff. So yeah, Camilla B. Prout as Nova, and Ben Lee's Lieutenant Faraday, Lieutenant Ben Lee, and Angela McIntosh, Jane McKenna as Audrey. They're sort of those three main lead characters. None of them have appeared in any other production of Big Finish. So it's interesting that, because Nick usually relies on the same troop of people, but he's brought in three people he's never used in Big Finish before. I suspect he knows them from stage. I don't know what the connection is with him, but it's great to have some brand new voices in Big Finish as well. Maybe the people that he knew would get on well with Chris, because he wanted to make Chris very comfortable, no doubt, in his first box set.
Yeah, for sure. I liked Claire Corbett too in her little role as the Ravagers.
Yes.
That was cool. And the way she talked about them in the extras and put the voice on was very
that
funny.
Was That's really worth...
Yeah, well, Claire's a very talented actress. Yeah. Go listen to her episode. It was great.
Yes, she is. Very good. Very good. What about music? Howard Carter? Would it pick up anything from his music?
Oh, spectacular. I mean, it was actually spectacular. He was pulling out all... I mean, I always love Howard Carter. I think all his scores are amazing. This was very much Murray Gold. It was big. It was dramatic. That main theme he'd written for the Doctor, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I just thought was just spectacular and could have been on TV. So there were certain themes running throughout this that were just sensational. And I even listened to the music suite, which I don't always do. But there was enough in the music suite to actually keep me enthralled.
It was the new Big Finish Ninth Doctor theme that was running through that really stood out to me. I loved it.
I love
the way they do that. They did that with Tom, with the Fourth Doctor, particularly as well. Done a really good job here. Sorry, Sarah.
I was going to say that that took a bit of getting used to not hearing, his theme off screen. But yeah, no, I did grow to love it. And like you say, he does take similar elements from Murray Gold. I love Murray Gold stuff. He's a big, influence with how much I love the Doctor Who show. I do love the music in the classic series, but, it is like apples and pears, very different. So the music was a huge part. So, I was very impressed with what Howard did. But I still don't know if I love it as much as Murray's theme, but we'll see.
Murray's stuff was centered around Rose, though, wasn't it? Most of his themes, lots of Rosy type themes running through all series one. Did the Doctor actually have his own sort of theme?
I can think of the Matt Smith one. I can think of really well.
Yeah. I can't even think of a Tennant one.
Yeah, there's many, many themes that Murray Smith had, which are really very famous and ingrained in my head. But to be perfectly honest, Murray Smith had months to prepare and write and score. And
who's Murray Smith?
Sorry. Murray Gold. Murray Gold had months to write and score and had an entire orchestra to perform for him. I don't think Howard Carter would have had quite as much time.
The way they turn these around... No, that is impressive. I will give that to Howard Yeah, well done for doing that in a short period of time.
Sarah expects you to have the entire orchestra next time.
I do, yeah. I don't, otherwise I'll throw a tantrum.
You don't ask for much, do you, Sarah? Gosh, no. Unreasonable.
Stop acting like a ravager.
These Doctor Who fans, they're just uncontrollable.
Oh, dear.
Very good. So it certainly whetted my appetite for what was to come with the Ninth Doctor. I was a little bit sad that we lost Nova. I liked her a lot. But I knew what they were doing with the companionless things, which they're still maintaining to now. And just on the ears, you were talking about the ears, sort of that intimation in his first television episode. But there was also the intimation that he'd been doing many other things. Like there was images of him in Dallas, 1963. It was an image on the Titanic. So he had been out doing things.
Yes.
That was implied as well. Probably more than the years, actually. But
And of course, in Rose, we don't actually know what is, you know, between seeing Rose in, you know, the department store and then seeing her in the flat and then seeing her, you know, in the restaurant. We're only seeing that from Rose's perspective. So, you know, how many times he's jumped about and had adventures just in between them. Mm. So it's a real good fun thing to play with.
Absolutely. Any final thoughts on this set, Sarah?
Yeah, more music. very strong first box set. Yeah, definitely intrigued to listen to some more. I keep saying why can't we just get Big Finish on screen as well? That would be wonderful. One day we will, you know, in years to come, we'll have it just beamed, you know, into our heads, and then we'll be able to see it as well. It means so much for me who connected to this Doctor and came in to fandom because of this Doctor, to have him back. And like you were saying earlier, okay, maybe he did do it for the money to begin with, but the fact that he's, you know, coming back, you know, he's got faith in the stories, you know, in what Nick and the team's doing, you know, and he's happy to do it, and he's having a much happier experience now, and I do think that does come across, because that always pained me, knowing that I got so much joy out of that first series, and, you know, and he'd had this horrible experience filming it. So, you know, I'm glad, you know, he's in a more positive place, and, you know, he's enjoying what he's doing, and the fans are enjoying what he's doing. So, you know, we've got that, you know, perfect balance now, and yeah, long may it continue. But yeah, we do need at some point Chris and Billy together. I think it was mentioned where I think he went to Awesome Con earlier this year, and somebody in the audience did ask, and he kind of just shrugged and went, "You need to ask Nick." So yeah, I'm asking Nick. Do it, Nick.
Very good. Philip, your final thoughts?
This is the first of 10 box sets we've so far had released in 2 years, and box set 11 and 12 are already scheduled to come. The next one's in February. We have this month. Is it this month? We've got Once in the Future.
Next month.
So we've got David Warner with Christopher Eccleston. So the late David Warner. And
is that
just
the last thing we've got?
Oh, it's the last thing of David Warner, which is, you know, once again, how blessed are we that, you know, a year after he's passed on, we're still getting some David Warner. And I think, you know, you've got two actors who are superb actors. I'm really hoping they get a lot of scenes together, because I think it's just going to pop that special. And in the 60th anniversary specials, there's no sign of him stopping. As I said, you know, already we have now, 10 box sets. That's 30 episodes, 30 stories. He did 13 on screen, and we already have 30. We've got the next 6 coming. So
it's
we're
incredible.
Catch up, Sarah.
Yeah.
I know.
We're really seeing the life of the Doctor. And I do actually think each box set, I've just been clicking through them all, I do think actually each box set does get better. Respond to All Cause has a couple of great stories. That Lost Warriors is just amazing. Old Friends. Yeah, each box set just gets better and better. I think, I still don't think I like the titles of the box sets. But aside from that, the stories inside them are amazing. And yeah, I've fallen in love with the Ninth Doctor all over again.
Excellent.
And your thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, just keep them coming. There's been a couple of series that have been finished at Big Finish recently, like River Song has come to an end.
Has it really come to an end?
Well, that's what they said. This is the last River Song box set.
I've also heard on the Big Finish podcast, I think Nick was saying that's not quite the last. I'm suspecting that Big Finish has no more River Song because she's coming back to the TV show, and they can't use her for a little while she's on the TV show, is my guess. But I don't know. We'll see.
You never know.
That's a very tantalizing. Big Finish
can't use certain characters at times if they're going to be on the TV show. So the fact that she's been pulled from Big Finish, we don't know she's been pulled from Big Finish. I'm suspecting she's been pulled from Big Finish because I think she's going to appear in the TV series.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Yeah. We'll see if you're right.
From Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, The Ninth Doctor Adventures, Lost Warriors.
They're back. Give it up. Give it up to us. Give it up that we might be satisfied.
Do you suppose it's safe to be out of doors?
Safe now, I should think. They only seem to come out at night.
The stranger stared at the sheriff.
What? 1925? Come on, I can't be far out. Look at the state of you.
Look at the state of us.
1925?
Why do you keep saying that?
I want to talk about your butler.
Stratton?
Something moves in the mist. Don't look at it.
Hello, ladies.
Oh, no.
I do beg your pardon.
I am Queen Cruach.
Oh, you're much more than that. You're Lady Macbeth.
Tell this demon to leave our home. Cast that.
Tell him to get out of here.
Well, we've attracted an audience. The pitchfork kind.
I'm not afraid of you, blue man. I know what you bring, and I know your limits.
Oh, I'm glad someone does. I'm the Doctor.
Doctor?
Yeah, now, stand still, because if that thing turns nasty, I don't want it to take your feet off.
And lights. Roll camera. Actors, go!
Look at it. The pinnacle of silent film.
As opposed to what other sort?
Your machine man. I need it.
Thank you. Thank you. Herr Lang, I promise you will not regret this.
You're making Metropolis.
Of course. Everyone knows this.
Fantastic.
Fritz Lang. Actual Fritz Lang.
I've got a knack. I'm good with lost things.
I'm sure you are.
Lovely and shiny.
You wear men like us.
Good God.
Big Finish. We love stories.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. It has been a pleasure and a privilege having your company.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. And yeah, I will be better prepared next time and listen to more Big Finish.
Excellent. Now, what we like to do at the end of our episodes is we just like to give our listeners and viewers something that we can recommend, something that we've been listening to. And I would love you to go first. However, I can't do that because my list tells me it's Philip's turn. So, Philip, could you tell us what you've been listening to?
Okay. I'm really surprised it's my turn, but there you go. We have mentioned a couple of times River Song's box set 12 has just been released. I'm actually going to recommend that. Four excellent stories. It's nice that we actually get four stories. The one that most amused me is The Harvest of Crotons. There's actually a Croton story in there. It is a scream.
Is that Camille Kadoori in that?
It is Camille Kadoori. Oh. She is
wonderful. She's just on fire lately.
Yeah, she's had a whole heap of things on recently. But, yeah, she's just hilarious in it. There's some lovely scenes between her and River, some lovely scenes about her missing Rose and feeling lost without Rose. So it's while Rose is still traveling with the Doctor. Nick Briggs does the Croton voices, and he has the Liverpool accent and the South African accent, which is just hilarious. Have you ever seen the Croton, Sarah?
I have indeed seen the Croton.
And, you know, so the Crotons crack me up. And
a Liverpool accent Croton?
Yes. One of them's got a Liverpool accent.
That's bizarre.
Well, if you listen to the Crotons, it's not a hugely Liverpool accent, but you can hear it in the Crotons.
There's a little bit of a twang, yeah.
There's the Liverpool twang, and there's a South African twang. And Nick
I just hear the South African.
Oh no, there's definitely a Liverpoolian one there. There's one that sounds like the Beatles. It sounds like Ringo Starr. Anyhow, so Nick Briggs is sort of playing.
You're really selling this one.
It was hilarious. It's funny. I mean that one is supposed to be humorous. So anyhow, four great stories, really worth listening to. I enjoyed. I must admit, I need to listen to the fourth one again because I got confused. It's called The Doctor. No, it's called.
You're even confused about the title.
River's Wife. And I still have no idea what was going on in that one. So I do need to go listen to that one. I was actually swimming laps when I was listening to that book, that one, in my special waterproof headphones. And somehow I must have lost concentration because I kept trying to understand what was going on and missed it. But the first three episodes, the first three stories are brilliant. Fourth one, I need to listen to again because it got to the end and I've got no idea what happened, which does sometimes happen if I've vagued out and not been paying enough attention, which obviously I wasn't for that story. But yeah, highly recommend it. There's some great stories in there.
And that's called The Orphan Quartet, isn't it?
It is, which I'm not 100% sure why it's called The Orphan Quartet either. I was trying to work that out. Four stories
that don't relate to each other?
That's what I was assuming. I was trying to work out if there's more to it than this. Sometimes these titles I just don't get. I like a punchy title, can I just say? I mean, yeah, Stranded. I mean, not my favorite box set, but you remember Stranded. It makes sense with the whole four box sets. Doom Coalition makes sense. Then you get out of the box sets, you go, huh? Like, why is that called that? Anyhow, I'm just being a grumpy old man now, aren't I?
You ravager, Philip.
Yes. Yeah. Anyhow, that's my two things I'd like to be finished. How you do your lousy credit lists on your website and some of your titles on your box sets.
You're not going to give up on that, are you?
No, I'm not. I need to write a strongly worded letter to the Big Finish podcast, actually, about that.
You do it. Do it. Started off with a high there.
Yeah.
Sarah, have you got anything that you've been listening to or watching, either one, that you'd like to recommend to us?
To be fair, no, because I've been that busy with Hooverville. What can I tell you? We have just recorded for Type 40 a review of Father's Day, because we've grabbed Stephen Noonan back on, and so far he's only talked about Classico, and I was really keen. I want to find, you know, what did he think about New Hope and it returning. So yeah, we've got him on for that. That's brilliant. That should be out in a couple of weeks. And a future listen is I have just got The Outlaws and Demon Song, so I'm going to be listening to them and then deciding on whether I tell Stephen if I've listened to it or not.
Look out for the story called The Miniaturist, which is on the Outlaws set. That stars Annette Badland, so she was obviously in series one.
Of course, yes. Oh, yeah,
and she plays the lead role in that. So I think that's Stephen's favourite.
Okay.
Of those two sets. So, tell him what you think of that one at the very least.
Okay.
Cool. Very good. All right. I want to recommend a few things quickly. First of all, since we've been talking about Chris Eccleston, if you haven't read or heard, I actually heard the audiobook version of him reading his autobiography, I Love the Bones of You. It's an excellent, excellent audiobook. And I listened to that while I was doing a lot of exercise in Coffs Harbour, believe it or not. A couple of years ago, I was spending a bit of time up there and listened to that book there. So if you haven't heard that from Chris Eccleston, please do. A podcast I've been listening to is, I listened to a full episode of Hamster with a Blunt Penknife. You've probably heard that one a few times, Philip. Nathan Bottomley from Flight Through Entirety was guesting on that. So I wanted to listen to him and Joe talking about the power of Kroll. So that was lots of fun. I enjoyed that very much. And an audio that I listened to, thanks to Audible credits that were built up, I could actually spend my credit on 4 from Doomsday, which is the BBC audio release of Doomsday. So that's their 4 short stories written by Darren Jones, featuring the character Doom. You know that character that everyone's forgotten about?
Yeah.
Who the fuck got that?
I did listen to that set because it's only just been released recently, I think. And it wasn't too bad. I didn't mind the stories. There's a story featuring Barbara and Ian just after they'd left the TARDIS. So it was a story set in 1966. There was a story set on ancient Mars with the Ice Warriors. There was a story with Brian the Ood. So it was nice to get Brian back.
Brian. Yeah.
Brian the Ood Assassin. And what was the fourth story about? Oh, the 12th Doctor. 12th Doctor was in that one. So that was interesting.
So these are all these are all short stories?
They're half-hour short stories, so they're like short trips.
Written by whom?
Written by Darren Jones. Here's a name that stood out to me because...
Is it an actor, isn't he?
No. I don't know. Yeah, he could be, but he wrote my favourite story of 2020. I still remember it. Cry of the Vultress. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
The last of the monthly range, it was a sort of... There was Ice Warriors in that too, so he writes a good Ice Warrior story. But yeah, the stories were good, still... Not too fussed on the character of Doom, but, you know, and I still don't quite understand what it's all about. But seeing those different characters brought in during the 60th anniversary season, which is what it's all about, was okay. I could get through them in half-hour lots. So that was four from Doomsday. I can say that I've listened to
it. You can tell from our silence that we're not convinced.
Well, I said it was okay. It's not setting the world on fire. It's not setting my world on fire. But, you know, it was interesting. There you go. I've given it a crack anyway. Come on.
That's
good. Yeah, well done. You've done four of the 24 hours. Well done. That's not bad.
I read the short story, so I've done five. And
to be fair, the promotion for that is as bad as the forthcoming stuff. Nobody knows what it is. The YouTube video of it looks absolutely terrible. It doesn't look like a professional project at all, does it?
Dwayne could have done a better job with his eyes closed. So, I mean, yeah, and if Dwayne could have done that, then for goodness sake, why can't the BBC?
What are you saying? What's wrong with my stuff?
No, your stuff is better, Dwayne, and yeah.
Nobody knows what it's about. Nobody knows.
it just looked atrocious and... Yeah, so amateurish and
yeah.
See, I'm not quite sure.
I'm not quite sure why we are following an assassin. So, in the 60th anniversary celebration story, we're following an assassin around. In each of the stories, she does the kill. So she takes someone out every single episode.
Really?
Yep.
So and she really is an assassin killing people.
And
she takes on an assignment every time and takes someone out. So with Ian and Barbara, she's taken someone out there. With the Ice Warriors, yep, she's taken someone else out. And yeah, she ends up doing the kills. So I'm thinking this is a bit distasteful, I felt, for like a protagonist. Yeah. Yeah. It just scrunched my nose up a little bit at that idea, but I just concentrated on all the other good stuff that was in there.
Dwayne, that sounds so good to recommend.
Yeah.
I didn't say I was recommending it. I just said this is what I was listening to this week. Okay. Thought I'd mention it. Thank you, Audible credits. okay, so that's it for today. We can catch up with you, Sarah, on Type 40. The live shows are back every Thursday, aren't they, in the UK? Every Thursday
night?
They
are indeed at 8 p.m. UK time, and watch for plenty more Hooverville content. We're editing that and compiling it all together. We shot so much. But yeah, look out for that soon. It'll be brilliant.
And people can follow you on, I was going to say, people can follow you on Twitter at Starry Eyed Girl, because I know you tweet quite a bit. So that's always
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's correct. At Starry Eyed Girl. I'm also on Facebook, and that's my actual name. That's Sarah Louise Graham. You can check me out there, although that's not as exciting because that's more like pictures of my cat and my kids, unless you're interested in that. But more of the sci-fi and the Doctor Who stuff, that's on the Starry Eyed Girl account.
Oh, so it's not on Twitter X. anymore, whatever it's called. X. Yes, X.
X.
And I'm at Edney Ford. And Dwayne, you're at?
Earth Shadows.
Earth Shadows. We never talk about it with our Twitter handles because we just want people to go to the audio sirens for Twitter. Yep. But yeah, follow us all because yeah, we just like friends.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Thanks again, Sarah. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah.
And thanks for turning up, Philip.
Sorry, Dwayne?
I said, and thanks for turning up, Philip.
Oh, it's okay. You tell me to turn up, I do it. I'll see you on Thursday too.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, we'll catch you all next time.
Bye, everyone.
This has been the Sirens of Audio, episode 169, The Ninth Doctor Adventures, Ravages, with our guest Sarah Graham and your hosts Philip Edney and Dwayne Bunny. Original theme music composed by Joe Kramer. More about us and tickets to Katie Manning in Australia from sirensofaudio.com. Comment below to let us know what you thought of the episode, or contact us via email at sirensofaudio@gmail.com or any one of our socials. Thanks for listening, audiophiles. We'll hear you next time.